Helen had charisma. Every email was clever, and the man whose place it was, his name was maybe Alan, had loaned her a car. He was a stranger from a listserv, but he had picked her up from the bus stop and showed her how to collect eggs before taking off in his truck. Soon she was posting all the time, gaining more followers, the river, the mesh porch where she had dragged the futon, the white mountains where she hiked too far alone, a chevron hen with a sexual walk. She said, in a text to the tidiest one of us, that it was strange to stay in so cluttered a house. He had not done any of the things one might expect, emptied the refrigerator or the closets, and it was as if he wanted her to spy. In a phone call to another shortly after, she said he was something like the father she did not have, a sculptor, eccentric. His eyebrows longer than wide, his hands still very good with the fine parts of life. He was a few months from 70 and wore a turquoise ring. Behind the crazy garden, bulbous mutant tomatoes, stalks of kale and sunflowers as tall as Helen, were tree houses he had built for his daughters. Even his wedding albums he had left out, and she mentioned how they moved her. Everyone who loved the couple watching them through binoculars as they canoed away from the reception. Helen had no family. Father dead, mother unreachable. But that she traced so much back to this seemed to leave something out. It came up too often. A rule in a game of make-believe that not all the children have agreed to, and that governs only its inventor. Swimming became for her something like worship. A mile a day, three. Then she began to go in the dark. Even health she treated unhealthfully. She liked how it was problem and solution. What made her sweat the same as what cleansed her. It was, this river, remarkable. As clean as it was jade. 2 fathoms deep in every direction. The trees on either side bending from the rocks like mothers. To swim in the hour before midnight was to be the same color as everything else. That was how she dramatically captioned a photo, a night she ignored 2 of our calls. Alan was calling often, the reasons invented as he spoke, their justification thinner as he drove farther away. Had she seen a mug, which he thought he had packed? Was she feeling safe, sleeping there alone? Had she heard the bear? Did she need the number of a neighbor? "I think you're a special person," he texted, from the road trip he'd called spiritual. "I think what you're doing is brave." Each afternoon, she drove his car 2 miles to the same trailhead, where she hiked in her suit to the place she liked to swim. The boys set up every day just opposite her. The farthest you could go before the river widened and the wooded land on either side dropped to marsh. Halfway up a tree that leaned into the wind, on the stump of a branch, her shorts and shirt billowed as she swam. Her routine was across and back 4 times, a break to float if she needed that. Of course, she came to recognize them. The one whose earring winked as he jumped. The one who shotgunned Pabst without so much as a shudder in the bare curve of his spine. Another, tawny blonde, seemed rarely to sit, disappearing often into the copse of hemlocks, re-emerging to issue a punchline and run toward a perfect dive. To imagine their bedrooms took no effort, their rivalries or feats. The posters fallen from one corner, the Labrador dyed purple, the fences hopped in escape from the broken-up party. They passed the first 2 weeks in wordless proximity, as she swam toward, then away. The boys' faces hung in sunlight between the violent peaks of their knees. Maybe she didn't want their desire, only to know she was not exempt from it.